Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell and Palais Show, right across the river through the woods, where Granny had to check into the ER because she's going to have surgery on Monday. And then when she left, I still thought it would be a good time to bust out a big satchel page of watermelon mimosa Tahoe hybrid in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People trust the plastic bags, the ready traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight, 844-843-6879 is the number. This very hour, Albie Oxenrider will join us from Pittsburgh. And we'll talk about Ben's new deal. He took a pay cut of $5 million, and he signed for 21 and coming back for the Steelers, much to the chagrin of a lot of fans and media who believe that he's shot. We'll ask Albie about that. Plus, the Penguins tonight led 3-0 but lost to the Flyers 4-3, the worst lead in hockey 3-0. Because you lay it down, and they sure did. Claude Giroux with a pair of goals, including the game winner to send Philly to the 4-3 win, and they split the two games in Pittsburgh. I hit the Flyers tonight and said on Coast to Coast this afternoon that I thought that they would come back and bite the Penguins after losing to them the other night, 5-2. I took Philly, and they covered. So we'll talk to Albie about that this very hour. And then in the second hour, Eric Walden of the Salt Lake Tribble join us. And we'll talk about the Jazz meltdown last night in Philadelphia and the complaining after the game by all of the Jazz players, most notably Mr. Spida, who said he's about had it up to here with it. He's done with all the refs in the NBA. And I got to tell you, I agree with him. I think that they're, and I said this today on the TV show, that I think they're a joke. And it's amazing to me how Adam Silver, and here's a guy that he's another one that Teflon Don can do no wrong ever. They just absolutely are on their knees for this guy. Like he's a genius. You know, it's widespread around sports now where, you know, you got all these geniuses running things. You know, they're always talking about how this guy's an offensive genius and this guy's a genius coach and blah, 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 blah. And all I know is they think Silver's a genius because he took over this rollover billion-dollar business from David Stern and he's pulled all the right cords, right? And then I wonder who's giving him advice on the refs, because I know they're always bragging how they have the best refs in the world. In their own headspace, they got the best refs. I'm telling you, you watch those games, they ruin, 8 out of every 10 games they ruin. And I'll tell you this much, is there anything worse? Seriously, I'll say it over and over again. Is there anything worse than throwing out superstars from nationally televised games? We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, USA, and Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell with Mafia tonight on the bench. So, seriously, like, I don't tune in on TNT or whatever, ESPN, I don't care what it is, NBA TV, or even if you have the package. I don't tune in to watch NBA games to watch the superstars get thrown out of the game. I mean, when is Devin Booker a problem with the refs? When is Devin Booker doing anything besides filling it up? And the other night he had like 15 or something at the half. And you knew he was going to pour in another 15 at least. And what was funny is they threw him out of the game, you know, right into the third. And then they still won the game. And as far as I'm concerned, they tried to give that game away, the refs. I thought the refs didn't. You know, they threw him out, and I thought they were going to, you know, ruin it for the Suns, but they went and won that game anyway against the Lakers. And then last night, they throw out Mitchell. You know, I know it was late, but it's irrelevant. I just think I don't tune in to watch the superstars get thrown out of the games by these no-name hack fat refs that can't even get up and down the floor. Seriously. I don't know what the deal is. They must think like they're getting their rocks off or something, showing everybody who's boss, who's the boss of these games. But here's a news flash for you, idiot face. We watch basketball to watch the best players go off. We don't care about you. Don't ruin the games. Stop throwing out star players. Stop screwing up everybody's bets. Honestly, they're affecting my betting. They're affecting my eating and sleeping habits. It's ridiculous. We got it all going on tonight on the bench.
Football, the goal line. Baseball, home plate. Basketball, the net. Sports talk, right here. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on a bench with you. The Heat are up right now. I'm watching this game. 66-55 on the Pels in New Orleans. And no Zion tonight. And the Heat are getting it on. I took the Heat tonight outright to win that game. And at the Smoothie, I think that's where they play. Anyway, in terms of who's getting involved, Olenek has 16, Jimmy Buckets 15 and 9 dimes. Nunn has 11 and 4 rebounds. And then really nobody else is doing anything. How about this Hero? He's got 2 points in the game. What's happened to him? Is it just he's having a bad night? Dragic's back in the lineup for about a week now. He's got 4 points. Precious Achiuwa, 8 points. There you go. As for the Pelicans, Lonzo Ball's got 10 and 4 boards. Bledsoe, 9. Adams, 9. Ingram, 9. Ball's played a lot better. He's hit a couple threes. I think he's been tough. For a guy that gets talked about every day that he's getting traded of his life. I mean, he's been in the NBA, right, a few years. And what, he played with L.A. And all they talked about when he was in L.A. was getting traded. And then they traded him. And then he's been in New Orleans, and for the last 2 months, they've been talking about trading him. There's been talk of that, for sure. And here he is you know, honestly, like working his ass off, balling, 14 a game, 4 boards, 5 dimes. I mean, I got to tell you, like his career average is 11, 5 boards, 6 dimes. Now he's 14, 4 and 5 with a half a block, a steal a game, over a steal a game. He's, you know, in my opinion, he's had great games lately against Utah. He had 23, 7 and 8. Against Milwaukee, he had 20 points and 8 dimes. I mean, the guy does something every night. I would no more trade him than fly a kite. I like him on this team. I think this team, that core with Ingram, Ball, Hart, Zion, and, I mean, they have all kinds of other talent as well. I mean, Steven Adams is a badass. They got to have that, you know, big badass down in the low block, and they got it. They had AD. Now they got a guy that's, you know, definitely more rugged than Davis. Davis is more of a, you know, 7-foot long guy that can go outside, inside, score, shoot, finish, block shots, rebound. He does everything fine. That's great. But in my opinion, he's not in there just absolutely at war in the low blocks, banging and getting violent and going after rebounds and getting physical with other guys. That's, to me, that's not his game. And that's exactly what Adams' game is. Adams' game is grown man, power, physicality, violence. But I wouldn't trade Lonzo Ball. And, you know, speaking of the Balls, his brother, LaMelo, is just unbelievable. I mean, it is like every night I'm just watching this kid go off. Dave even said, Michael Jordan said that he's exceeded their expectations. And then also, I mean, I bet on him all the time, and all they do is either win or cover, one or the other. I mean, they did it again last night, right? Last night I bet on him, and they blew out the T-Wolves in mini, 135-102. You watch this kid every night. It's something. I mean, it's just something. 19-7-5 last night, 4 three-pointers, 4 of 5 from downtown, 7 of 13 from the floor, totally efficient, incredible, 19-7-5. And you talk about badass. He's averaging 15-8. 6 boards, 6.3 dimes. I mean, this guy's playing like a monster. Rookie of the year for sure at this point, without a doubt. So I like watching the Ball brothers play. I could care less about their loudmouth dad. I don't worry about him. I don't worry about their brother, G League in it. I think LaMelo and Lonzo both fill it up. You can't even argue that they can play. It's that simple. How about that Nuggets game tonight? They won in Indy, 113-103. They win by 10. I got to see what your boy the Joker did. 20 points, 12 rebounds, 8 dimes. He almost has the triple-double, but he got the double-double. And Michael Porter Jr., the double-double, 24 and 11. And Murray had 23, and they blow out the Pacers. Only 10 from Sabonis, but he had a triple-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 dimes. Impressive. McDermott had 20. Turner had 22 and 12, the double-double. But the Pacers lose to the Nuggets. They're 6 games over 500. Wizards beat the Clippers, 119-117. Mafia had a huge parlay going. I don't know, like a 5 or 6 leg parlay. And it was all butchered by the Clippers. All they needed to do was win on the money line. What happened, Mafia? Very frustrating.
I mean, they choked. They're a joke. You know, this team, I don't care that PG-13 isn't in there because he had fatigue or was dizzy, whatever it was. I mean, you still had Kawhi there. I don't care that Morris wasn't there. This is the Washington Wizards. This team is terrible. Now, Beal and Westbrook, they can ball. They're good. The team's not winning games. They're getting smoked by everybody. and then you go and lose to them. I don't care if you're on the road. You got one of the best players in the league. You're supposed to be a title contender. Go win in Washington, you losers.
They're 10 games over 500, and they lose to a team 6 games under 500.
Talk about packing it in for like, the All-Star break.
Right. That's it. They're just throwing the game. They could care less. Meanwhile, they were in it. It was a 2-point game, but it seems like they just don't even care. You know what I mean? The Celtics beat the Raptors by 7. I was getting 8 with the Raptors and the Celtics to win with a double cover. All of a sudden, after all the bad play, the Celtics are playing well. Despite Powell's 25 tonight. And then you get a 27 spot from Tatum. Brown had 21. Tatum had the double-double, 27 and 12 with 5 dimes. Kemba had 15. Tristan Thompson, 13. Can you imagine? Williams, who keeps getting better every day, 17. They got a couple of them. Williams the third, the center. He had 10 and 7. The forward, Williams, 17 and 4. Teague had 14. Pritchard had 10. Hit a couple of threes. Boston wins it. They're 2 games over 500 now, 132-125. Toronto, 2 under 500. The Knicks win again, and they win by 10 over the Pistons. They were laying 7. I hit both ends of it with the double. Cover! Pistons. Ellington had 17. Bottom line, it didn't matter. Randall, 27 and 16 boards. The double-double. Noel, 12 points, 11 boards, the double-double. Everybody got in on it. Alfred Payton had 20. Barrett, RJ, 21, 4, and 5. Your boy Frank Ntilikina, a 9 spot. He hit 3 threes, and I saw him drain all 3. Burks had 9. Obi-Wan had 4. On his birthday, your boy Obi-Wan Kenobi Toppin with a birthday bash. And the Knicks beat the Pistons. The Knicks still a game over 500. Unbelievable. Suns and Warriors are underway. Suns 11-9 early. Kings lead the Blazers by 5. Spurs by 11 over the Thunder at the half. Grizzlies up 2 on the Bucks late. Under a minute left. Heat up 10 on the Pels. All right, Pharrell on a bench with you. Albie Oxenrider is from PXI 11 in Pittsburgh, famed sportscaster in the Steel City, and a longtime friend and regular on the bench. And we got to check in with him tonight. A lot going on in the Steel City. How you doing, Albie? I suppose you're going on the air in about half an hour, 45 minutes to do your sports update. You'll be showing those 3 early Penguin goals before they gave up 4 straight and lost to the Flyers.
That's about as bad. If you're locked, if you're talking about hockey, that's about as bad as it gets. That was a bad loss, maybe their worst of the season. And what can I tell you? They when you give up 3 goals quickly, the Flyers took something to get back, but they scored 4 and they beat them. So that's the way it goes. They'll get another chance this weekend with the Flyers.
So Couturier on a power play. I'm good, brother. It's good to have you on. Giroux had the game winner. He had 2 goals. He's been on a cold streak all season. Hasn't been scoring goals. A regular 20 goal scorer, automatic. But Giroux had a big night with the 2 goals and an assist, and Couturier a power play goal. I said on TV today that I took the Flyers in that game tonight because you know the Penguins killed him the other night, 5-2. What do you think of and that was without Crosby. Crosby was back in the lineup tonight. So what do you think of the Penguins this year, the way they're playing and where they stand now at 12-9-1 in the mix in that East? It's not going to be easy for them to even get one of those spots.
I think that's their biggest problem, Scotty. In the East, I mean, you're chasing the Capitals and the Bruins and the Islanders and the Flyers. And the problem is every night somebody's beating somebody else. There's points going back and forth all the time. And if you play these 2 games, if you're on the outside looking in, even if it's only by a couple points and you get a series and you split the series, it does you no good. And they also struggled and, you know, they were winning a lot of games in overtime or in the shootout, which is great. but you're giving away points when you win it that way, and it doesn't do a whole lot of good when you can't win games in regulation. That's going to add up. So I think the toughest thing that they're going to have to overcome is these teams in front of them. There's four quality teams. They're going to have to catch one of them. Sid is Sid. He's the best. Malkin's got to get it going. I think he would be the first to tell you that. And they need to have solid goaltending. Tristan Jarry's kind of gotten it together the last couple of weeks, but tonight was a night that they'd like to forget, because when you go up 3-0 so quickly in the first 4 minutes of the game, and then they just, as Chris Letang said, they took their foot off the gas, and you can't do that against the Flyers, and you want to take every bit of traction you can get. You don't want to give anything away, and they're giving too many games away in this East, so. I think their biggest problem is those four teams they're trying to catch. But, you know, they're resilient. They bounce back. We'll see how they do in the third game against the Flyers.
Yeah, my dad used to say to me all the time, he'd say, three-goal lead in hockey is the worst lead you could have. And then, sure enough, they blew the three-goal lead. So let's talk about Big Ben taking that pay cut now. How does that deal work out for the Steelers now with what they came up with today at the drawing board?
Well, the bottom line is the Steelers know that they have been under center for another year. And frankly, they weren't in a position to think that they could get anything better going forward in terms of making a run for the Super Bowl. Ben wanted to play. He made it clear he was willing to make some concessions. He's a competitor, and I think he also would love to. He'd love to finish it off, obviously, with a Super Bowl. He thinks he has a shot at doing that. They have a lot of work to do, but the bottom line is the Steelers know he'll be there, and maybe more importantly, they cleared a lot of cap space with this rework deal. He essentially gets a one-year deal for $14 million. They're spreading a lot of the money out as far as a bonus and. I think there's a, you know, everybody agrees there's a very realistic chance that this will be it. I mean, I don't think anybody's looking beyond this year. But, hey, listen, I think it's a no-brainer. This guy wanted to come back. He said he was willing to rework his contract and take a pay cut. He took about a $5 million pay cut, which frees them up to do some very important stuff, and that is they have to figure out what they're doing with their running game. They have to figure out a way to try to keep this defense together. And if they can do that, and if these receivers can catch the ball, I think they'll have a shot. But they need to get a running game. They have the defense, and now they have Ben Roethlisberger. And you know what? I read a lot of stuff over the last few weeks about Ben Roethlisberger, and, you know, some fans were ready to move on. And this
right.
guy is, as you know, a Hall of Famer. And he's not a Hall of Famer that's 5 years past his prime. He's still putting up numbers. Ben passed for almost 4,000 yards last year. He had 33 touchdown passes, only 10 interceptions. And this is a guy that can still get it done. In the first 11 games last year, he looked like a world beater. And in the games that they lost at the end of the season, his offensive line was not what it should be. Receivers were dropping passes, and he had no running game. And it's tough to put all that on Ben. I applaud him for doing what it takes to come back and play his 18th season. I applaud the Steelers to know well enough that they're not going to get anything better than Ben Roethlisberger. He's a franchise quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer. And I still think he can do what they need him to do to get back to a Super Bowl if they address those other issues, running game, being near the top of the list.
I actually, I'm with you on all of that. I said on the air many times that, you know, you don't win 12 games and win the division title, and then you have a really horrible end of the season and a horrible playoff game, and Pouncey snaps it over his head. It went downhill fast from there. He threw four of those 10 picks in one game, that game, but he also threw four TDs and 501 yards that day. No one ever talks about that. Then the media turned on him. The fans turned on him. Everybody said he's finished. National media said he's a hack, and that's because they're all a bunch of idiots. Everybody thinks they're so clever. You're right. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I think they have a lot of issues on that team. He's not one of them. I'll tell you this much. When my dad died, I picked up those season tickets of his, and now I own them. And I said on the air, I'm not paying all that money to go watch Mason Rudolph play. I'm gonna pay that money to go watch Ben Roethlisberger play. Let me ask you this question: with the money that they've saved, and you know, Pouncey's gone, now they've saved money with Roethlisberger. They've got to figure out Juju. Are they gonna let him go, or are they gonna keep him?
Listen, I think if you look down at the list of unrestricted free agents, Juju is certainly the guy that everybody's talking about. I mean, Juju's only 25 years old, and I know that Ben taking the pay cut that he did and freeing up the cap space that he did might make it more realistic. But going into the offseason, it was a foregone conclusion that it wouldn't be realistic to think that they could re-sign Juju. Bud Dupree's another guy that, you know,
right.
Fans would love to see Bud Dupree back. But it's going to be difficult. Al Villanueva looks like he's gone. James Conner looks like he's gone. There's a couple, you know, Cam Sutton, their cornerback, is an unrestricted free agent. They need to figure out what they're doing with him. They need to either draft or offensive lineman or a running back, or they have to figure it out in free agency. And James Conner's not going to be the answer there. So to your question, maybe it looks a little better as far as signing Juju after Ben cleared some cap space, but I think it's still unreal. It'll all come down to whether or not they're able to afford it. And the other thing is when the cap comes out, when the official number is out there 100%, they'll have a better idea what they can work with. I know Juju would love to come back. You know, I've seen a lot of Steelers. You know, Zach Banner's a guy that they need to deal with, and Robert Spillane is a linebacker who meant a whole lot to them last year. One quick point: you're talking about that playoff game, and if you're in a playoff game and you're missing Joe Hayden, you're missing Devin Bush, who was out for the season, and you're missing Bud Dupree, who was out for the season. Those are three spectacular players out of that defense, and it doesn't help when Marquise Pouncey, who's a player from the decade. I mean, a great, great center for the Steelers.
Right.
One of those fluke plays on the first play of the game. There were a lot of things that happened in that game, and to your point, none of them had anything to do with Ben Roethlisberger. I know Ben would love to have Juju back. I mean, let's face it. You have to give him what he needs to succeed, and I think that's one of the reasons that Ben was willing. Ben's made a lot of money. This isn't about money for Ben. He could have retired long ago with the money he's made. Ben wants to win. And for those national media guys and anybody else that was saying he's a hack, this is a guy who's top 10, really top 7 in all the major passing quarter categories, all time. He's over 60,000 yards. He's 4 touchdowns shy of 400. His touchdown to interception ratio is 2-1. Terry Bradshaw, I think, was 212-212 or something, 212-210.
Right.
It was pretty much the same amount of touchdowns as interceptions. Ben is not only the Steelers' all-time leader in all those categories, he's top 7 in the major categories passing in the history of the NFL. So you're talking about a guy, he's 39. He just turned 39 2 days ago.
Right.
But he has, you know, he can read defenses. He can be a guy who can get you what you need when the chips are down.
Albie, I got to run, buddy. I hate to cut you off. I'm sorry, Albie. I've run out of time. I love you. Have a great sports update tonight on PXI 11. I always love having you on the bench. Sorry to be so rude at the end and cut you off. Got to do it. I'll check you out real soon. Go Steelers. Go Penguins. Thanks, Albie. All right, it's Albie Oxenrider on the bench.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Javi, what happened in that Tampa Bay-Chicago overtime in the NHL? You're telling me there's a controversy right now?
Well, we'll see what they do here with this game. But, you know, originally, I mean, obviously Chicago was up 2-0. Tampa comes back, ties it. They go to overtime. And as, you know, Tampa's putting on the press here at the end of overtime, Hedman shoots it from the blue line as time is running out. And it somehow goes in as the clock's expiring. The ref originally says it counts. Looking at the replay, it looked like it might have still been on the line at point one. So I don't know. They're coming out of the booth now. We'll see what they say. But I don't know. When I was seeing the replay, it looked like it might have still been on the line and therefore not count and have to go to shootout.
So do they, it has to cross the line with time still on the clock, or it has to leave the guy's stick?
No, it's got to be completely over the line. They just pointed to the center ice. I think they're going to shootout. They're going to the shootout.
So they didn't count it. They gave him the goal if he pointed to center ice.
They gave him the goal. You're right. Yeah, they did. I was confused because that's where they put the puck for the shootout. So I figured they were doing that. But no, they are giving them the game. That's dicey to me. I thought that was still on the line, but Tampa gets 3-2 win in overtime.
And I just hit that bet. And then they're playing again tomorrow, and I like the Blackhawks. They gave them a good game tonight, right? So took them to overtime and then lost with no time left. The Lightning win it, and Chicago's gotten so tough. Everyone at the beginning of the season, if you remember, they were, you know, the first couple of games, they looked so bad, and everybody's like, oh, the Blackhawks are the worst team in the league. They're awful. And the Red Wings, they're awful. And then ever since, Patty Kane has just been on a tear. And he's been carrying that team and making everybody around him, all these young kids, better and better. You play them every night, you got a game on your hands. I'll tell you that much. You know, I'm the other night I had an 8-0 night in Hockey Mafia. You know that, documented. And then I have just been on fire. I just hit the Lightning overtime, hit the Islanders 5-2 over the Sabres, hit the Rangers 6-1 over the Devils, hit the Jets. They won in overtime. Dubois with the winner in Montreal at the Bell Center against the Canadiens. The Canes beat the Red Wings 5-2, Flyers 4-3 over the Penguins. I hit every one of those games, 6-0. Now, there's four more going on. Leafs and Canucks after one are tied at one. And the Leafs played last night. Flames 5-1 after two periods against the Senators. I took the Flames that settled them. And I said today on Coast to Coast they would kick the Senators' ass tonight just to let them know, yeah, you beat us twice last week, but now we're playing in Calgary. So enjoy this. 5-1, that game's toast. And Columbus was up 3-0 in the third on Dallas. It's now 3-2. They've scored quickly a couple goals. And it's been Heskinen and Robertson at 7:35 and 10:48 of the third. So they're alive and down a goal now to Columbus. Let's see if they can tie it and beat them. And then the Panthers, with 45 seconds left, 20 seconds left now, up 5-4 on the Predators in Smashville. I took the Panthers, the Stars, the Flames, and the Leafs. Mafia, there's no way I'm going 10-0. But I did go 8-0 the other night. Can you imagine if in two of the last three nights, I would go, like, I mean, I don't think I'm going to go 10-0 tonight. I think I'm going to lose, you know, one or two of those games. But you never know. Dallas is still alive. That's the one I think that I'm in trouble on. There's 7 minutes left for them to tie it. They can do it. I think I'm going to hit the Flames. I feel like I'm going to hit the Panthers. I need them to close it out with 20 seconds left. If I hit that, that's 7. If I hit the Flames, that's 8. I still think the Leafs will beat the Canucks. They're tied 1-1. I think they'll beat them. I think they'll still beat them. That would be 9. And then if the Stars lose, I'd go 9-1. But I still think the Stars have a shot to tie that game and send it into overtime. I mean, I'm just killing it lately. Now 14 seconds left. You know what they're doing in that Panther-Predator game. They got the empty net at one end, and they're icing the puck and trying to finish him off. That Panther team's really good. I told you the other night I was listening and watching the game, and my boy Goldie on ice and Randy Moeller were calling the game. I'm friends with those guys. Great announcers with the Florida Panthers. Really cool people, awesome dudes. Love Goldie and Moeller. Moeller's a really funny dude. And the Panthers win it. Thank you. Thank you. That's my arena organ music whistle and fight song. I thought it sounded terrific. So the Panthers check in. Now, Mafia, I'm looking at that's 7-0. I'm 7-0 in the NHL tonight betting. And you know, the other night I went 8-0. Not only did I go 8-0, but I also gave you the Penguins plus a goal and a half. That would have been 9. Because I remember I said, no Crosby, and everybody ran to the window to bet the Flyers. I said, I'm sticking with the Penguins. I think they'll win anyway, and I'll take the goal and a half. Thank you, ma'am. So I actually went 9-0. There you go. Great game going on Bourbon Street now. Miami leading barely over the Pelicans. They just missed a 3-on-2 fast break that would have made it a 2-point game. It's a 4-point game now, but the steal at the other end by the Pels, they're down 4, 6.5 and rolling left on Bourbon Street at the Smoothie King Center. And we got a game brewing here. I always like watching my boy, the Dragon Mafia. You know I like Dragic. And now they hit the jumper. They're down 2. They were getting their ass beat the whole game, and now they're back in it, playing without Zion. We got a game here. Alexander Walker with a 13 spot, 4 of 12 from the floor, getting involved for the Pels. Jimmy Buckets. Anyway, I just love it. You get the Dragon back in the lineup. Good things happen. Jimmy gets a kiss off the glass to keep it at 4. Under 6 to go now. Honestly, Butler's got the greatest hairdo ever. That thing is like, honestly, it's like a bird's nest. It's so thick. That thing is so awesome, that cut he's got with all the, it's like Medusa. He's got like the whole thing going there, Mafia. It's like a small island. That hairdo of his is just fantastic. He may have the best do in the league. Do you think anyone has a better hairdo than him anywhere on the team? I thought last year Dwight Howard had some fantastic braided activity going with his hairdos when he played for the Lakers. Every night it was something new. He had like massive different colors going. He had burgundy going for a few weeks there. Dwight Howard had it all going with the hairdo. Do you know anyone that has a better hairdo now, Mafia, than Jimmy Buckets?
Well, I know about a month or two ago you were saying how you loved Jaws cornrows. You thought those were the best in the league.
He's got a strong effort. He has the burgundy, a couple of sprinkles of burgundy, like a couple sour patch of the burgundy. He's got going up there.
Some little highlights, he's got
highlights. Fantastic cornrows. I mean, he's got it all going. Whoever did his hair, get him a bottle of Veuve Clicquot. Great job on Ja Morant's hairdo, for sure. And I watch a lot of these kids now in college, because they obviously have more hair in college. They won't start losing their hair until they're out in the real world and stress affords their lifestyle and moves in on them. Once stress moves in, you're doomed, and you start losing your hair. But I think some of the college kids have just fantastic, you know, hairdos, just fantastic. I don't know whose it was the other night I was watching. It just had the greatest do ever. Just massive action, like going every which way. But tonight I saw that guy, your boy Fats Russell, that plays for Rhode Island. He had a fresh do. He had like a reggae thing going on up there. He had like spikes. He got like millions of spikes. It almost looked like fruit. Like it was like, have you ever seen, what are those things? Avocados, not the avocados, but the they got like wings to them. They're like, it's like this big, green plant with different chips on it and wings, and the kid's got that hairdo. He's got like 50 million clips of like different fingers sticking out of his head. Looks fantastic. Rock star status. Got to have a great do if you're playing ball nowadays. If you don't have a great do, you're basically nobody. It really is important. The more hair, the merrier, too. If you got a lot of action, if you got a lot of hair, you can do a lot with it. Braids, you know, you can do all kinds of stuff. I'm always keeping an eye on it. But Jimmy Butler, he's got so much hair up there, Mafia. I honestly think he could, he's not going to ever have, I don't think he's ever going to have balding. He's got so much hair up there in that bird's nest he's rocking that he's just, I think he may be good to go for life. I don't see any signs of depletion. There's no, you know, he's not, you know, it's not receding at all. He's just got a massive hairdo going every which way but loose. God only knows when he gets it cut, too, you know? Like, how do you get that thing cleaned up? What do you do, it once a month? Because he's got, like, so much action going off in different directions from his hair that, like, I don't know how you trim it or how you take care of it other than to, like, do it, like, once a month or something like that.
Dear God, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I saw this story. Somebody just sent me the story. I should have asked Albie about it. I don't know if he cares, but did you see, Mafia, that the Penguins were photoshopping fans with masks on at the game at PPG? So they showed fans that weren't wearing masks, and then the Penguins photoshopped masks onto their faces that they didn't have a mask on. And then all of a sudden they had a mask on, and it was all fake. The social media staffer is in trouble for making adjustments to photos used to thank fans for their loyalty and support after the doors opened for spectators for the first time earlier this week against the Flyers. And they showed these people that didn't have masks on. Then suddenly they had masks on. And I saw it. I saw it earlier today. I was blown away by it. I was like, oh, my God, they're making them wear phony masks now. Fake ones. Like, they don't even have a mask on, but suddenly they have a mask on. So it looks like everybody in Pittsburgh's following the CDC guidelines, unlike Texas and Mississippi, who've now opened up 100%. You can do whatever you want. Don't wear a mask. Good luck to you. Good luck to all those people down in Texas and Mississippi. Think they're smarter than everybody and that the COVID's all over with and done. Meanwhile, you can't even get a shot. You can't even get the vaccine. Good luck with that no mask idea you came up with down there, you geniuses. Drew Holiday with a gamer. He hit the game-winning shot to beat the Grizzlies in Memphis. Pharrell with the double cover. I hit the Bucks to win. Grizzlies with the sixth spot. Told you it'd be a great game today on Coast to Coast. 112-111 Bucks. They get it done on the road on Beale Street. Greek Freak right with 26 Ja. And 11. Ja had what? He hit a big shot.
He hit a layup right before that with 7 seconds left. The guy hanging on him hits the layup to take the one-point lead. Then Holiday takes it right back down and nails a fadeaway.
Yeah, I saw that step back along the wing, kind of in the corner. Middleton had 22. Holiday 15. Connaughton 15. On the other side, Ja had 35 points, 3 threes, 6 boards, 5 dimes. Brooks had 23. Big game for Ja. But the Bucks win it 112-111. I hit the Bucks to win, Grizzlies spread, Nuggets to win. I got burned on the Clippers, hit the Celtics to win, Raptors plus the 8, Knicks to win, and minus 7. Right now, going on, I took the Heat to win. They're up 8 with 3 to go, 95-87. They lead in New Orleans at the Smoothie King. And then, how about this one? Thunder lead the Spurs by 1 with 8 minutes to go. Kings lead the Blazers at the Moda in Rip City 50-49, four left in the second. And the Suns are blowing out the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. 57-38, Suns, 3.5 left in the second. I am just on fire tonight, Mafia, hitting everything. Going to the second, Leafs and Canucks tied at ones. Flames up 5-1 on the Senators going to the third. The Jackets beat the Stars 3-2. I finally got a game wrong, Mafia. I lost the Dallas Stars. First game I lost tonight.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.